Technology. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 11 as briefly as I can. I've enjoyed the meeting. Began yesterday morning, had a tremendous time, good preaching all day long. And then today has been wonderful, hasn't it? I love preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that'll believe. And we need to get back to preaching. And I appreciate the preaching that we've had. Amen. And I know Brother Wells is going to follow me in just a little bit. So we'll try to be like the Lord would have us to be, as short as He will allow us to be. Sometimes I preach like a 6-ounce Coke. They used to come in 6-ounce bottles. They don't anymore. But they were smart when they did that. They gave you 6 ounces and left you wanting one more drink. So you go back and buy another one. Amen. So I'll try to be as brief as the Lord would allow me to. There's a verse of Scripture in 1 Peter 2:21. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to be in Luke 11. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, the Apostle Peter said, "For hereunto were we called," and in the latter part of that verse, he said that Christ also left us an example that we should follow His steps. In my Bible reading here, a few days ago, that verse jumped off the page and got a hold of me. And I've been trying and asking God to help me to build a series out of Jesus, our example. He left us an example, leaving us an example of what Brother Peter said, that we should follow His steps. And we probably misquoted that verse very often, but He didn't say that we should follow in His steps, but He said we should follow His steps. So I'm praying and asking God to help me to get a series on that. If I take the thought out of 1 Peter chapter 2, it would be His example in persecution. He tells us when He was reviled, He reviled not again. And so I'm going to, the Lord help me get a thought out of there. And then if the Lord allows me to preach again in the meeting, I'm going to preach on His example in our pilgrimage. We ought to follow His steps. He tabernacled among men about 33 and a half years or so. But tonight, I want to try to preach, and I'm not going to get through. I'll preach for a little while on His example to us in prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer, and it amazed me as I began to study and try to find the mind of the Lord about His prayer life. And if you'll follow with me, I may, if I can slow down a little bit, get you to turn to two or three points with me. I will be as brief as God will allow me to. But in Luke, Gospel chapter number 11, and verse number 1, the Bible said, "It came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And He said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread." Now they taught that to me in elementary school up in a holler in West Virginia, back when me and Abraham Lincoln was in elementary school together. Amen. But they taught me that in elementary school. Now they won't even let you pray, they say, in school. But they'll never take prayer out of school as long as they're given examinations. Amen. But anyway, verse number 4, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend?" He gives an example. He's teaching them to pray by example. And now He teaches them to pray with an illustration. I'm not going to get that far. But let's read the illustration that He gave in verse number 5. "And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is come in his journey to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Now there are 2 friends there. A friend comes to a friend, and this friend doesn't have anything to set before him, and so he goes to his friend to ask for bread. Is that right? All righty. This friend goes to a friend. His cupboard's empty like Mother Hubbard. And so he goes to another friend to ask 3 loaves of bread. Verse 6. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. Every time I read that scripture, I think about a preacher, a boy of mine when I was in a young preacher years and years ago. He had teenagers and they slept with their mom and dad. I never did figure all of that out. Amen. But he was afraid to sleep by himself, so he slept with his mom and dad. Well, I'd have kicked him out on the back porch somewhere, made him sleep on a bale of hay out in the barn or something. Amen. But he said in verse number 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and I don't use that big word much in my vocabulary, but it means that he was shamelessly unafraid to just keep on asking and keep on until he got his prayer answered. I'm not going to get down that far. But because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In verse 9, here's the interpretation. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's the definition of importunity. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If you're in West Virginia, it's fish. Amen. Verse number 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Would you ask Him to help me tonight? Father, I love You. Lord, I want to claim Your promise tonight. If we but ask of You, we shall receive, that You might be glorified. So I ask You tonight for help from heaven. I pray for unction and liberty and an illuminated mind and a revelated heart and a clothing of my calling, that I might preach these next few minutes the wonderful word of life. Lord, I pray You give hearing ears and a receptive heart to the message tonight. And I pray that we'd be doers of the word and not hearers only. I pray You'd speak to every heart under the sound of my voice. And You get the glory, the honor, and the praise that's due Your name. And we'll love You and thank You and praise You for it. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Bible said Jesus is praying in verse number 1, and it came to pass that He prayed in a certain place, and when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. These are not men that are not saved. We know they've been saved a considerable length of time, and they had prayed before without doubt. But I think once they heard the Master pray, and they observed Him praying, and they heard the manner in which He prayed, I believe they probably looked at each other and said, we need to learn how to pray. And I think if there's anything the church of the Lord Jesus needs tonight, it's like the disciples said unto the Master, Lord, teach us to pray. And we've heard numerous messages. He did not say, teach us how to pray. But He went down through that chapter, and I think He did teach them how. But I also think that He was teaching them to pray. A lot of us know how to pray, but we probably don't pray the way that we should. When this Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. And the Bible said in Ephesians 6:18, praying always. And the Bible said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Paul wrote to a young preacher by the name of Timothy in chapter number 2 of his first epistle. And he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. I pray for Mr. Obama that his days be short and another take his office. Amen. But he said to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, which is well-pleasing and pleasing God. If we would do that, and we could go on. But there's only one meter, Paul, one intermediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. He's a ransom for all. Paul went into that in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and he would have all men to be saved. And so Paul was trying to teach the young preacher to pray. I believe we can probably go to school and learn how to put an outline together. Maybe we can learn our homiletics and our hermeneutics, but I believe you have to learn how to pray somewhere in a briar patch or a laurel thicket somewhere. If you'll notice in my text tonight, and you'll see it if I get to turn to another verse or two, the Bible said Jesus was praying in a certain place. You ought to find you a certain place. I've got a place that I pray. I call it a sacred place. I call it a solitary place. And Jesus often resorted thither. That's how Judas Iscariot knew where Jesus would be when it came time for his arrest and to be falsely accused and found guilty of love in the first degree. Judas knew where Jesus would be and what time he would be there, and he had him arrested. All right, God permitted him to be arrested, led to Calvary, and there crucified for our sin. But Jesus had a sacred, certain place. The Bible calls it a solitary place. It was across the brook Cedron, where he often resorted there to pray. And you ought to find you a place to pray. You can pray anywhere and pray everywhere. I know a man got saved riding on the Harley, he said, down Interstate 75 in Tampa, Florida. Well, I got saved down by the Kanawha River in Fayette County, West Virginia. I'm glad I wasn't on the back of a Harley. Amen. I'd have probably run into a bridge abutment and got my fool self killed. That night I got saved because God done a work in my heart and something got a hold of me. But we ought to pray. And I could give you a lot of scriptures tonight about praying. You ought to pray, pray always, pray without ceasing and all of these things. But what I want to do tonight is look at the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 35, I'll leave out some of the filler and get right down to the meat of the message, if we can get any meat out of it. But in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 35, the Bible said, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place," there it is, "and there prayed." Notice, in the morning, Jesus is rising up a great while before day, and the Bible said he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. For alliteration's sake, I call this his early prayer. If I'm wrong, I'll be tickled to death to apologize to you at the judgment seat of Christ, but I doubt there was ever a day in the life of our Lord that he did not start that day off in prayer. He has instructed us to do that. He has instructed us, commanded us that we ought to pray. And I believe the Lord started every day in prayer. And rising up a great while before day, he slipped off into a solitary place and there he began to pray. Preacher, what about this early prayer? What would that mean? What would you pray about of a morning? Well, the Bible said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "You young people committed to memory, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I believe you ought to start every day. When I get up of a morning, I say, "Lord, I thank you for another day in my life. Thank you for giving me another day, and I want to live this day for you." You could wake up dead some morning, amen. But I'm telling you, I say, "Lord, thank you for this day. And the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He will direct your path." Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let the word of God be your direction for the day, a light to shine on you, and let the Holy Ghost lead you through the day, and I guarantee you your day will go a whole lot better. Amen. We are busier than we've ever been, and we're probably trying to do more maybe than even God in a lot of cases would have us to do. And I think maybe we're like the Laodicean church. We think we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, not even God's leadership. When He said we're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and we need the leadership of the Holy Ghost in our life today. Where do you find that, preacher? You'll find that on your knees, in your prayer closet somewhere. Jesus had a solitary place. And the greatest sermon in the Bible, preached by the greatest preacher that ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, preached by our Lord in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, Jesus said something like this: when you pray, enter into thy closet and shut to the door, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. A successful Christian life can be found in Matthew chapter number 6, and there are three secrets in that chapter for you preacher boys that are here. Get in Matthew 6 and find three secrets in there, and your life will end up as a successful preacher and a man of God. Amen. You've got to have a secret closet. You're going to have to get you a sacred, secret, solitary place somewhere where you draw aside and get alone with God with all of my heart. I pastored 36 years of my life. I've been on the road 9 years. We'll be here in just a few days. And I believe the missing thing out of our churches tonight is that solitary place where we pray the power of God back down on the church. Are you listening to the preacher? I believe we've got as good a preaching today as there's ever been on the face of this earth. There are some men that still believe the King James Bible, and there are some men that still live good, clean lives, and there are some folks today that want to serve God, but I'm telling you, without being saturated in prayer, our messages will be weak and anemic, and they'll just be buffeting the air. Like Paul said, I refuse to do that. May God help us to get the power of God back upon our life, and I am not a spiritual Rick, your scale. Don't measure yourself by me. Measure yourself by the Son of God tonight. He got up every day and started his day off in prayer unto the Father. And I could go through Luke 11. I've preached through that chapter and talked through it in years gone by. But learn to acknowledge the Lord early in your day. You young couples that are here, when you get married, when you're courting, or whatever you call it here in Indiana, even before you're married, learn to pray together. Amen. When you're going out to court on the front porch of the swing, you ought to pray together. Amen. And I'll tell you, girls, if he won't pray with you before he marries you, he won't pray with you after he marries you. Amen. And you pass him like a greyhound passing a hobo if he won't pray with you before you're married. Amen. After you get married, pray together. Get you an altar where you and him, or he and she, get on their knee before God and pray about everything that you do, every decision you make. Learn to acknowledge God in all your ways and do it early in your marriage. My wife and I were getting ready to celebrate 54 years of wedded bliss. Amen. She hadn't killed me yet, and I hadn't run her over a cliff by taking a brake line loose on the car. Amen. But I'm telling you this, you can live together in holy matrimony if you'll learn to pray together. Learn to pray. If any two of you, how much more, man to woman, that's bone of bone and flesh of flesh, if any two of you agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. Thank God, get you a family altar. And then when the young ones come along, they probably will if you get to praying together and loving each other, you get the children gathered around the family altar and let them hear you call their name in prayer.
and do it early. Jesus rose up a great while before day. You say, preacher, I worked the hoodow. Do y'all call it the hoodow up here? That's what we called it in the mountains where I was born and raised. I don't know your day and I don't know your schedule. Maybe you sleep till noon, you work the third or whatever you work, but learn to start every day in prayer. Do it early, not after the day the sun's high and the sun's hot and the sun's gone down. Learn to acknowledge Him early. Would you look at a verse? God gave me this last week, Proverbs 8 and verse number 17. It's a good verse. I love it. I've read the Bible through at least twice in 49 years. But you listen to me, Proverbs 8:17. God said, I love them that love me. And they that seek me early shall find me. Now he's talking about wisdom in that chapter, but Jesus is our wisdom. I don't have time to run that rabbit, but I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. When I pastored, one of the ladies knitted or crocheted or whatever the ladies do, she crocheted that verse or whatever, applique or whatever it is, put it there, and I had it hanging there at the house. They that seek me early shall find me. Every one of us ought to get a hold of God early in our life, early in our marriage. Boys, early in your ministry, learn to pray early in everything that you do. Seek Him early every day of your life. David was a man after God's own heart. Only man in the Bible God said that about. And David said this in probably one of my favorite Psalms. My Bible's like ice cream, whatever chapter I'm in or flavor I'm eating. That's my favorite kind, amen. But David said in the 63rd Psalm, oh God, we don't know how to spell prayer today. We spell it P-R-A-Y-E-R. But the Bible spells it O-P-R-A-Y-E-R. Oh God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You young people, get a hold of that. There's nothing out in the world going to satisfy you. It's not out there. David said, my soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh thirsteth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What you thirsting for, David? To see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. This while I live, I will lift up my hands. And he goes on down through there about praising God and having the power of God. These younger men are praying and thirsting, pouring water out on the thirsty. And there's some of them getting thirsty to see the power of God again. I'm telling you, you got a good pastor. But if the church don't learn to pray, men ought always to pray, Luke 18:1, and not to faint. If the church could come together in one mind and one accord the way the early church did, I believe we could shake the foundations of hell. I believe we could pray the jailhouse doors open. I believe we could pray the windows of heaven open, and I personally believe we don't preach conviction down. I personally believe, and you can take it for what it's worth, I believe we pray conviction down on sinners. Sinners come into our congregations, they sit there, and they hear a message on John 3:16, and very little conviction do we say anymore, and I take my responsibility for it of not praying the Holy Ghost conviction down upon them and get them trembling under convicting hand of God. I'm telling you, if we could get them exposed to what I got exposed to in 1966, I was a 20 25 or 6 year old motorcycle policeman, mean as a junkyard dog, didn't care whether the sun come up or set. Our family was just about to be destroyed, and I thought I was a cool tool in the motor pool, amen. And I walked into that little old mountain church up there, and I sat down on pew number 4. That's the reason I'm sitting there tonight, not because you're so good looking. I'm sitting behind you and want to build my reputation up, amen. I got saved off of pew number 4 about 49 years ago, and if we could get sinners exposed to what I got exposed to, it doesn't matter who they are, tattooed from one end to the other, track marks up their arm, I mean hell's angel, whatever they are, if they, God, get a hold of them the way He got a hold of me, their palms would break out in a sweat drip down off their head, their knees would shake together, Brother Donnie, and they'd fall on the altar and get saved by the grace of God. It ain't going to happen without P-R-A-Y-E-R with an O in front of it. Jesus prayed early. Now you listen to me, and you get to running His prayer life, get you a good Strong's Concordance and an old Webster's 1828, and run the references, and you'll find He started His day in prayer. In Matthew 14:23, would you look there? Now my time is going to be gone here in just a minute, amen. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14, I'm not preaching this point. I want to give it to you. And some of you young men, write it down. And God told me to give it to you so you can say God gave it to you, amen. Matthew 14:23, and I'm not making fun of you. When I started preaching, I preached everything my preacher preached. He is about that tall, and I was about this tall. He got me in a whole lot of trouble. He is meaner than a junkyard dog, buddy. Matthew 14:23, the Bible said, and when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. There's a solitary sacred place. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. I'll stop there for the sake of time. I call this His evening prayer. I'm not going to enlarge on this point. I want to get to number 3 and I'll quit in just a minute. He started His day off early in prayer, acknowledging His for direction and leadership. I'm talking about His incarnation. I believe in His deity, don't you? I believe He was from eternity to eternity, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, without controversy, a great mystery, God manifest in the flesh. But He acknowledged the Father every morning, and when the evening was come, He got alone by Himself in the mountain to pray, and He said, Father, I thank You for Your direction today. I thank You, Father, for the blessings of this day. I thank You for supplying my needs this day. I think the evening prayer would be a good time just to slow down and say, thank You, Lord. We are living probably in the most unthankful generation that God ever let live on this earth. This snow also in the last days, perilous times are going to come. What a string of terrible immorality. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, and all the rest of it down through there. We are living in an unthankful generation. I thank God that at my age, I'll be 70, I'll be 84 in 10 years. I thank Him for my health. I was preaching up in West Virginia. I referred to my age. Usually I pick on my wife, Brother Epps, the way you referred to yours. And I referred to, she and I have been married all these years, and I married her when she was young and trained her the way I wanted her. Some of you wish you had, but you know it's too late now, amen. But I referred to being 73 years old, and I got through preaching and shaking hands. Some old fellow come up. He looked like about half the size of Beetle Bailey. And his chest was caved in, looked like a teaspoon turned backwards, you know. He said he didn't have any teeth. He said, how old did you say you were? I said, 73.
He said, me and you is the same age.
I told my wife, thank God for the health I got. Amen. And I ain't got 64 teeth like Joe Osteen's got. I ain't got but 27. But I'm going to gnaw on the devil's hide as long as I can. Amen. And if I do lose them, I'm going to scratch him in my fingernails. If I get so weary to bite them off, I'm going to gum him for a while. Amen. But we ought to get thankful. There's thanksgiving from Genesis to Revelation. And we ought to be a thankful people. Thank him for your health. We better thank him for what freedom we got, because it's fastly slipping away. And God may let us go through some stormy seas before he comes. I'm a premillennial Baptist preacher, and I'm not intending to change my mind, but we better batten down the hatch and get out the foul weather gear. We're going to sail through some stormy seas before the coming of our Lord, and he's probably going to separate the men from the boys. And we that are mama called and papa sent, we're probably going to throw in the towel before it's over. But I believe those that God's called say we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. And if you young men live out your natural life, you'll be in jail before, if Jesus doesn't come, you'll be in jail for preaching the truth out of this book. Well, we see his early prayer. We see his evening prayer. I'm going to skip this one. There's an eventful prayer. He prayed about his baptism. He prayed about beginning his public ministry as recorded in the Bible. He prayed all night about choosing the 12, you remember? He prayed all night, and the Father gave him 12 men. Judas Iscariot, one of them being the devil. Jesus prayed all night. He prayed about everything that he did. That's acknowledging him in all of your ways that he can direct your path. Here's what I want to get to for us preachers tonight, and I'll be through. Look in Luke chapter number 5. You can get every one of these points out of the Gospel of Luke, because Luke is the gospel for the Son of Man, that ministry. And the Son of Man, he came in a body of flesh, and we are going to have to pray like we're still in the flesh. Amen. In Luke's Gospel chapter number 5 and verse number 15 and 16, the Bible said in 5:15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, Jesus, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. I call this his escaping prayer. He learned that when the pressure got on, and so many coming to and fro, and I'll show you that to the disciples and I'll be through. Jesus, and I know he was God incarnate in the body of flesh, but he sat down in John chapter 4 on Jacob's well, curbstone there, and won the woman of the well to God. You know the story. But he was weary in his journey, and he got thirsty, and he got hungry. Afterward, he was hungered when he came out of the wilderness. So his flesh got weary just like we do. What did he learn to do with the pressure that was upon him? Luke 5, verse 15 and 16. There's a fame going abroad. He got popular. He was healing the sick, raising the dead, and opening blinded eyes. Great multitudes coming to hear him. He healed by him of their infirmities. In verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Would you look at Mark chapter 6, verse number 31, and I'll quit tonight. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 31. If Jesus had to withdraw himself into a wilderness and pray because of the multitude and the crowds and the pressure and so much going on, in Mark chapter 6, verse number 31, here's what Jesus said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Are you listening? Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. I call this his escaping prayer. I would venture to say every victorious Christian in the Bible and every victorious Christian today and every victorious, I could use the Psalms 1 and quote it to you. Don't have time to get into all of that. But if you're going to be a profitable, successful, victorious Christian preacher, pastor, evangelist, you are going to have to learn to come apart before you come apart. Well, I'm like an old bulldog. I just bow up in the back, old hairy dog, and just get another handful and go on and serve God. We never took a vacation for years. One of the worst mistakes of my ministry. Take time to get alone and get refreshed and get your thoughts together and get things collected in your mind and get your orientation or whatever, get it all settled in your mind, what you're doing and what's going on in the light and the day in which we're living. If you don't, you're going to become confused. Somebody says a termite and a yo-yo and the pressures are so great. Here in the book of Daniel, it said in the last days the Antichrist would wear out the saints. Well, that may be tribulation scripture, and I'm not getting into the tribulation. That's the great day of Jacob's trouble, and I've got enough trouble of my own. I don't need Jacob's trouble. Amen. So I'm going to let Brother Jacob worry about his trouble. I got enough trouble being Larry Range and on the road preaching the gospel. But learn to get alone. It wouldn't hurt you churches, every church represented here, wherever you're from. It wouldn't hurt one thing for some of you men to get up and say, let's let the preacher and his wife get away for a few days and rest themselves and get out from under some of the... You say, you're trying to feather your nest. I'm not trying to feather my nest. I'm busier than a one-arm paper hanger. That's pretty busy. So I'm not trying to feather my nest with the pastors here this morning, this evening, but I'm telling you, they learn to get apart and rest a while. That's not a sin to rest a while. The Bible said in the last days they would run to knowledge that increased and they would run to and fro in the earth in the book of Daniel. And we're seeing that today. Our churches, we're not fishers of men. Somebody said we're keepers of the aquarium. Folks are jumping to and fro, running to and fro, and we're worried about their church members, they're worried about our church members, and we're concerned and anxious about things we shouldn't be anxious about, and that pressure will get to you, and you had better learn how to handle it and what to do with it. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting all your cares upon Him, He cares for you. Send your preacher on a vacation. Well, I got one or two amens, and Brother Hoy gave me a good amen. Take care of the man of God. You're not going to be too good to him. Let him get off and hear some preaching. I'm preaching. I love to get in a meeting like this and somebody preach to me. You men have helped me today. They helped me yesterday. They've helped me today. I need preaching. My wife and I need to get alone and get rest a while. I told Brother Wells, I said, I'm wore out. I'm the baby of seven, five boys. I'm through for the third time. I tried to quit smoking three or four times, so I'm trying to... I'm still trying, amen. But I called my sister, and she said, where? I said, I'm in Indiana. Indiana? She said, why don't you slow down and chill out? It sounds pretty good to me. Lord woke me up 5 o'clock this morning with my sister on my heart. What'd you do, preacher? I prayed for her. She's a member of the Christian church. I hope she's saved. She is married to my wife's brother. That makes our children double first cousins. But nevertheless, her and my wife's brother died, my sister's husband, and she's a widow. God laid her on my heart at 5 o'clock this morning, and I prayed for her. And I let her sleep, and I called her today, and I said, I had you on my heart about 5 o'clock this morning. And I talked to her a while, and I told my wife, I said, she's just not the same since her husband, Benny. I said, she's just not the same since Benny died. because half of her was put in the grave when we buried him. And that pressure's on her. God laid her on my heart. See, ever do you like that? I pastored 36 years. I thought I'd die pastoring. I thought I'd pastor till I got too old or physically unable to preach. The Lord has awakened me at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and had me praying for some of my church members. One of my deacons, the Lord woke me up and said, pray for Ed and his family, Ed Childs. You can call him. I'll give you his phone number if you want it after church. I got up and prayed for him. He came, that was on Saturday night, up in the morning, 1 or 2 o'clock. Come to church on Sunday morning. He said, Pastor, you would not believe it. He said, Dennis got up last night, knocked a lamp over. That lamp fell on the carpet, burned a hole through the carpet, lived in on a mill hill in Greenville, South Carolina, burned through the carpet, burned down into the wood floor. He said, it's a thousand wonders my house didn't catch on fire and burn us all up. Now, if you're not spiritual, you'll think that I'm preaching from Blondie and Dagwood or the newspaper or something. That's the same time, Brother Epps, that lamp was smoking in the floor. God had a pastor that loves his people praying. And I could give you illustrations after that. Learn to escape in your prayer. And if I had time, I'd close with his earnest prayer when he got in the garden and he prayed more earnestly and his sweat, his great drops of blood dropping down to the ground. Learn to pray earnestly. Jesus did. When you're asking for bread, the example he gave in Luke 5, just don't ask for bread. He asked for 3 loaves. You ask for bread, you might get a crumb. Earnestly ask him for what you need. James 5, 17, 18, somewhere down through there. Elias, being a man of like passions as we are, prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens brought forth rain. You get on an earnest burden in your heart. Jude, verse 20, said, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 John 5, in the latter part of that chapter, whatsoever you ask in the Spirit, believe, and you'll receive it. I'll guarantee you, you pray in the Spirit, earnestly, in the Holy Ghost, and that answer will come. But you have to learn to wait on the Lord when you're praying earnestly. Even the youth shall faint. The young men will be wearing youth shall faint. But they that wait on the Lord, God will strengthen you through your prayer life. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me preach.